Well, we are about to embrace a new beginning in the Centerpoint story. And don't get me wrong, we've had a lot of new beginnings over the last couple of years. And this is one of the things that the experts tell you don't do, because inevitably you'll leave somebody out. So if people volunteer for something or sign up for something, and you try to start calling names from the front, you're sure to miss somebody. But we've had a lot of new beginnings over the last couple of years. One of those beginnings was a little girl named Lily. She was a new beginning for us. And a little girl named Hadassah. And a little girl named Ileana. A little boy named William. We had some other new beginnings over the last couple of years. We had a little girl named Maddie. We had a set of twins, Aubrey and Autumn. We had another little girl named Emma, and another little girl named Maisie, and a little boy named Preston, and a little girl named Amelia. Who have I forgotten over the last 2 years? Good, you don't remember them either. Okay, that's all good. But we're looking forward to some new beginnings in the days ahead. And they're coming up pretty quickly. In fact, we're waiting on them right now. We're waiting on baby Torres. We're waiting on baby Angolia. We're waiting on baby Gibbs. We're waiting on baby Phillips. We're waiting on baby Melton. I forget anybody? Baby Shattuck. Yeah, that's right. We're waiting on baby Shattuck. Pastor Alyssa and Brandon are right on the verge of welcoming little Cora into the world, and her due date is December 8th. And I don't know if you've looked recently, but December is coming up pretty quickly. In fact, today is Pastor Alyssa's last Sunday with us before she takes her maternity leave, and so we want to say to both of you, go do it, make it healthy, and we're very much looking forward to having a new member of the worship team up here, baby Cora. So we won't be seeing these guys for a little while as they welcome baby Cora into the world, but we will have a guest worship leader with us for the next couple of months, and she's not here with us today. But just do want to tell you, we'll have a young lady by the name of Dawn Sammons. And Dawn is on staff at Asbury Seminary. That's where I first interacted with Dawn. But in the meantime, learned that she actually has had and does have currently kids at Journey Early Learning Center. And as Dawn is able to faithfully lead worship there at Asbury each week, I've been able to sit under her ministry there. Her husband is Blair, and Blair is on faculty down at Andover Elementary School. And so this is very much their community and their home. And Dawn and Blair will be with us for the remainder of our Advent season, and then into the Christmas season, and then into the new year. Well, today we launch into celebrating the season of Advent. And I know that many of us, we've already fully decorated for Christmas. If you have fully decorated for Christmas, go ahead and raise your hands. Yep, there's hands going up. If you've partway decorated for Christmas, raise your hand. Okay, a little bit more of us halfway done. Then, if you haven't pulled anything out yet, raise your hands. Boom, join the Adams clan right there. Yeah. And many of us, we've already decorated for Christmas, and there's actually quite a few radio stations that have already gone like all Christmas music status. And here's the thing. We're going to get to Christmas. We've already tipped our hat a little bit here, even in the worship center, between Travis Blue's beautiful nativity that we have over here to the manger that's on the screen. We've already tipped our hat a little bit to Christmas, but we're going to get to Christmas in the weeks to come. And our kids are going to kick that off for us next Sunday, December 4th, with our children's Christmas musical entitled Sheep in Heavenly Peace. But here's the thing. When we get into Advent, we don't jump into the Christmas story as we understand the Christmas story. When we get into Advent, The first priority is simply remembering that Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's not coming as a baby. He's coming as a reigning king. In other words, Advent says, yes, there is a new beginning that's on its way, and that new beginning is in the return of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of all the universe. Advent is celebrating very much a truth about God. And here's the truth. In Jesus, we get to see who God is. In Jesus, we get to see who God is, and the hope of seeing who God is that ultimately all people and all creation will be able to come back into a right relationship with God. So I want to ask you this morning a little bit of a rhetorical question, but I want you to think about it. How would you say today, right now, this moment, how's your relationship with God? Just for a moment, think about it. How's your relationship with God today? See, we're all in a relationship with God. Whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we care or not, the question is, though, how healthy or how sick is my relationship with God? Is your relationship with God something that you are currently nurturing? Is your relationship with God something you're currently starving? Is your relationship with God something that you are currently watering? Or is your relationship with God something that you are currently trying to ignore, believing that if you ignore it, it will definitely go away? Are you living today as a child of God under the loving care of a heavenly Father? How's your relationship with God today? Well, to help us answer this question, we're going to spend some time this morning in John chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to open up with me. And we're going to be considering verses 1 through 18. And invite you to stand for the reading of the Word. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen for you. So if you remember back to the creation story out of Genesis 1, you'll remember the wording that's used in Genesis 1, which is simply this: in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. By the time we get to John chapter 1, you'll see that the writer starts with the same exact wording, but takes a little bit different direction. The writer of John says this, beginning in verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made God known. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. God, such an interesting text. God, that I know you want to use today to speak words of life, new life, into our hearts, into our bones. So God, we ask now that as you speak, we would have ears and hearts to hear and hands and feet that are ready to obey whatever you would say to us, Lord. And so now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be holy and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You can be seated. Well, hey, the kids aren't in here today, and I wanted to let you know that it's not really a Christmassy sermon, and so this video may make a little more sense, understanding that we're not singing Silent Night this morning. All right? Focus your attention on the screen, if you will. When in doubt, throw up a 2002 movie trailer about the end of the world by Alien Invasion. That's preaching rule number 27, in case you were wondering about that. The aliens are coming, right? Everyone is running for their lives. People don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. And the stories that are most important for Graham, played by Mel Gibson in the movie Signs, the most important stories to him in this moment are the stories of Bo and Morgan's birthday. In the midst of them running and scattering, he wants to tell them these stories. Tell them these stories while they're on the go. So they're frantic. They're boarding up doors and windows. They know the aliens are coming. And in the midst of all this chaos, Graham turns to Bo and he says, "Did I ever tell you what everyone said when you were born? Did I ever tell you what everybody said when you were born?" And Bo, she says, "No." So Mel Gibson gets down on his knees in front of his little girl. He says, "You came out of your mama and you didn't even cry. You just opened your eyes. You looked around the room at everybody. Your eyes were so big and gorgeous. The ladies in the room just gasped. I mean, they literally gasped. And they said, 'Oh, she looks like an angel.'" In that moment, you could see this big smile come over Bo's face. But he went on, he said, the ladies said, "We've never seen a baby so beautiful." And then you know what happened? He said, "They put you on the table to clean you up, and you looked up at me and you smiled. They say babies that young can't smile, but you smiled." Well, the next thing you know, they hear footsteps out on the porch and on the roof, and they keep going. They're still boarding up doors and windows, and they're making their way down into the cellar. By this point, the aliens are actually in the house, and they could hear them walking around upstairs, pushing things over in the kitchen and in the living room. And in that moment of fear, Morgan, the 10-year-old boy, he simply lets out this sigh. He says, "Dad." In this moment of fear and darkness, Morgan, the 10-year-old, just goes, "Dad." Well, in response to that sigh of "Dad," Graham turns to Morgan and he says, "Morgan, do you know what happened on the day you were born?" He says, "You came out of your mama, but your mom kept bleeding. The doctors rushed her out of the room before I had time to see you. While they were fixing her up, all she kept asking about was you. I wanted your mama to see you first because she had dreamed about you her whole life. When she got feeling better, they brought you in and they placed you in her arms. She looked at you and you looked at her. And you just stared at each other for the longest time. And then she said in a real soft voice, 'Hello, Morgan. I'm your mama.' You look just how I dreamed. In the midst of all the chaos going on around this family, they're on the roof. In the midst of the trouble that they knew they were in, they're in the house. In the midst of the fear that was gripping their hearts, they're coming for us, they know where we are. There was something really important that the dad wanted the kids to know. Despite all the junk, he wanted them to hear the story of their beginning. He wanted them to hear the story of their birth. Now, I don't think I need to tell you today that we live in a pretty junky world. Some of you may agree with me. I don't know that I need to tell you, but I'm going to share with you this morning. Did you know that the overall crime rate in Orlando is 143% higher than the national average? That for every 100,000 people that live in our city, there are 19 crimes daily. Orlando is safer, get this, Orlando is safer than only 2% of all cities in the United States of America. In Orlando, you have a 1 in 15% chance of being a victim of a violent crime of some form or fashion. On average, 72,000 abortions occur in our state. On average, just under 3,000 suicides occur in our state annually. Last year, there were just over 1,000 murders in the state of Florida. Last year, there were just over 12,000 forced sexual crimes. 7,200 of those were rapes. That was the highest that number has been since 1971 when they started tracking that statistic. And last year, there were over 94,000 violent crimes statewide for Florida. Do I need to tell you that we live in a pretty junky world? I don't know that I really do. Following the election just a few weeks ago, I was driving my daughter's one of my daughters to one of her activities, and I passed a church sign. The church sign on that day, it had this question, is this the end? So the election happened on Tuesday. I was driving her past the church sign on Thursday, and I read the church sign on that day, is this the end? Now, I don't know when that question went up, but I assume that they were advertising maybe the sermon title for that Sunday or perhaps the sermon series that they were going to be going into. Obviously trying to address, it appeared, to address that question from the standpoint of a post-election. And I thought to myself, as I drove by that sign, I was actually in that particular church parking lot at the time. I thought to myself, I said, man, if I were preaching that sermon, it would be a really short sermon. Right? Because I'm a pretty literal guy. Some of you know this about me, some of you don't. If you ask me a yes or no question, I'm probably just going to give you a yes or no answer and go on with my business. Right? If you ask me an open-ended question, I'll talk forever. Just ask the church board about that, okay? Is this the end? If I were preaching, it'd be a pretty short sermon because I could pretty faithfully stand up in front of my people, in front of my congregation, the people that I know, people that I love, people that I walk beside, and could pretty faithfully stand up and say, yes, this is the end. We are nearing the end. And at that point, you raise your hand and you go, you mean a... because of the election? No, not because of the election. Because of what I read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says. This is verses 1 through 5. The writer says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's what the writer of 2 Timothy had to say. Are we living in the end? Yes, we are. Have we been living in the end for a while? Yes, we have. But I can tell you today, Center Point, that despite the fact that we are living in the end, I'm very excited and glad to know that today the story of my beginning can have a tremendous impact on my ending. And so maybe you say to me, well, Dwayne, how did your story begin? Well, if you want to know how my real story began, my mom's here today. She'll be glad to tell you the whole story right after service. But for the sake of sermon, I'm not going to share with that. I want to tell you, though, my beginning began a long time before I showed up. My beginning and your beginning began in the beginning. Really, really stupid. Sorry, again, the kids aren't in here. Some kids are in here. I shouldn't have said that word. Avery would be in here right now, and she would say, Daddy, that's a bad word. A really unfortunate preacher joke is that, did you know that baseball is mentioned in the Bible? No, I didn't. Well, yes, because it says in the big inning. Okay. Thanks, Brad. What was going on in the beginning? According to John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Capital W, Word. The Word, the capital W, Word, was with God, and the capital W, Word, was God. And through this Word, all things that were made that have been made. In this Word was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The Word was with God in the beginning, but now this capital W Word, it was coming into the world. And this capital W Word came into the world, but the world did not recognize Him. Not only did the world not recognize Him, His own did not receive Him or welcome Him. However, for all who did receive the capital W Word, for all who believed in the capital W Word, He gave them the right to become children of God, children of the King. That's what John chapter 1 tells us. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God in the beginning. And Jesus was God. And Jesus was the light of all mankind. And nothing that has been made has been made without Jesus being the one who brings it into existence. And this Jesus was coming into the world. And when Jesus came into the world did not want to receive Him. The world did not recognize Him. The world did not acknowledge Him. In fact, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. His own rejected Him. However, for those who recognized and those who believed in this Jesus, Jesus gave those people the right to become children of God. You see, long before I had my beginning and long before you had your beginning, Jesus came to live among people. He came and He was filled with grace and truth when He came. He has made God known to us, and He's let us know that God is a God of grace and truth. God is not angry at you. God is not mad at you. God is not distant from you. He wants you to know that God is filled with grace. God wants to treat you better than you deserve. God is filled with truth. He wants to look you in the eye and tell you who you are. And if you have an encounter with this God, you become His child and He becomes your father. That's what John 1 says to us on the first Sunday of Advent. When I was in college, Carol Ann Eby, my English lit professor, stood up in front of us one day and she read a story to us. And it's a story that literally, not literally, I guess, figuratively embedded itself in my heart. I haven't been able to get away from it. And that's been a long time ago. Wow. Almost 20 years. It's called Even If It's Dark. He was a strong man facing an enemy beyond his strength. His young wife had become ill and then suddenly passed away, leaving the big man alone with a wide-eyed, flaxen-haired girl, not quite 5 years old. The service in the village chapel was simple and heavy with grief. After the burial at the small cemetery, the man's friends gathered around him and said, "Please, bring your little girl and stay with us for several days. You shouldn't go back home just yet." Brokenhearted though he was, the man answered, "Thank you for the kind offer, but we need to get back home where she was. My baby girl and I must face this." So they returned, the big man and his little girl, to what now seemed an empty, lifeless home. The man brought his daughter's little bed into his room so they could face the first dark night together. As the minutes slipped by that night, the young girl was having a dreadful time trying to sleep, and so was her father. What could pierce a man's heart deeper than a child sobbing for a mother who would never come back? Along into the night, the little one continued to weep. The big man reached down into her bed and tried to comfort her as best he could. After a while, the little girl managed to stop crying, but only out of sorrow for her father. Thinking his daughter was asleep, the father looked up and said brokenly, "I trust you, Father, but it's as dark as midnight." Hearing her dad's prayer, the little girl began to cry again. "I thought you were asleep, baby," he said. "Dad, I did try. I was sorry for you. I did try, but I couldn't go to sleep." "Dad, did you know it could be so dark?" "Why, Dad, I can't even see you. It's so dark." Then through her tears, the little girl whispered, "But you love me, don't you, even if it's dark?" For an answer, the big man reached across with his massive hands, lifted his little girl out of her bed, brought her over to his chest, and held her until at last she fell asleep. When she was finally quiet, he began to pray. He took his little daughter's cry to himself and passed it up to God. "Father, it's as dark as midnight. I can't see you at all. But you love me, even when it's dark and I can't see you, don't you?" Center point, I just wanted to come before you today and out of John chapter 1 be able to proclaim to you that we can be assured of our Father's love for us all along the way, even if these are the last days. We can be assured of a Father who loves us and is present with us, even in whatever darkness is going on in our own lives or in the world around us. And the hope that we have this Advent is that whether our lives are being lived today in light or in darkness, He's coming and He's here. In life's beginnings and in life's endings, He is in our midst and He is full of grace and He's full of truth. And Advent delivers to us this tension of this God who's present, but this God who's also coming. This God who's healing, but this God who will ultimately heal. This God who's caring for us, but will ultimately care for us. This God who is coming and one day will come to us. And so whatever road you're walking, whatever journey you're on this Advent season, you can rest assured that light is coming into the world. His name is Jesus. And He points us to a God that is full of grace and truth. And He's a Heavenly Father that loves us. Amen. Well, this morning we get to share in communion together. Communion is for us an act of thanksgiving, so it's probably very appropriate to share communion together just after Thanksgiving Day. And sometimes the temptation is to go into communion in a more somber tone because we are remembering the death of Jesus. We're remembering His broken body and His shed blood. But the truth is that for us today as we come out of thankfulness for a God who is a healer, a God who is a providing strength and nourishment, a God who's providing sustenance for our very lives. And He does that not only on very spiritual levels, as the Holy Spirit is present with us, walking with us, and guiding us each and every day. But I know that each and every one of us in this room today is very aware of how the Lord has provided very practically for us. With fellowship, with food, with friends, with family. A bunch of other words that probably start with F at that point. However the Lord has blessed you today, however the Lord has blessed your home or your family today, my hope is that you could come to His table in an attitude of thanksgiving for all that He's given you. And the scripture says that on the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, He took bread. And after giving thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples. And He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Scripture also says that after supper, He took the cup and He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it often." And He said, "Because every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." And center point, He's coming again. So Lord, we give You thanks today. Understanding that the level of gratitude that we should have is probably unknown to us. Because we're probably very unaware of the ongoing and limitless gifts, graces, provision that You make in our lives. So God, I would pray that today, all across this room, You would overwhelm us by opening our eyes to the people, to the things, to the care that You deliver to us that we probably take for granted, that we probably brush past or perhaps even think that we provided on our own. So God, we come before You now knowing that You are grace, knowing that You are truth, that You are light, and that You are love. And we give You thanks for the ways that You care for us, Your children. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.